In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that keeps you from getting your proper rest? For me right now, it's jet lag. My biological clock adjusting itself through 7 time zones, only for our clocks to fall back 1 hour last Sunday night and make it an 8th time zone. I lie there. I think. I wonder. I worry. I think about the 65 MA students at Makani Yesu Seminary in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, laboring against computer literacy, English literacy, limited library resources, as they work to create master's theses of 75 pages in length. I think about my students here at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, wondering whether they will be able to finish all the requirements of fall quarter before the end of this week. I think about my faculty colleagues laboring to meet the needs here and to answer the call from around the world for sound Lutheran teaching. And sometimes, yes, sometimes I wish that I could just turn my brain off and get some rest. I wonder how much rest Moses was getting at the time in his life that we heard yesterday and again today from Exodus. Millions of people were relying on him to lead. Just think of all the logistics behind this. Food and water would need to be found. Order would have to be kept, and security would always be an issue as they journeyed through enemy territory. And on top of all this, they were to journey, to move. They were supposed to make their way across thousands of miles of wilderness to a new home that none of them had seen. Can you imagine having all of this on your plate? When would Moses ever find a moment of rest and peace? And if matters weren't bad enough for him, making matters worse is what we heard yesterday. The people had turned to idolatry. They had made of themselves a golden calf to worship. They had engaged in wild revelry. And the only way to end the insanity was for the Levites to go through the raucous crowd, cutting the people down with swords. If you thought Moses was angry, consider how the Lord must have felt as his wrath waxed up into him hotly. How much do you think Moses tossed and turned at night, wondering if the Lord would just wipe them all out? But things began to look up when the Lord once again told the Israelites to go. He said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go. I will send an angel before you." Sounds pretty good, right? Wouldn't you like to have an angel go before you in life? But if he is sending an angel, who's staying behind? Who isn't going? The Lord himself. He still would not accompany them because of their rebellion and sin, because of the relationship they had fractured. And this is what worried Moses the most. This is what gave him no rest both day and night. Moses realized that without the Lord, they had nothing. They needed him and only him. They could worry all they wanted about food and drink, about clothing, about weapons, about justice, and everything else under the sun. But without the Lord, without his presence to guide them, to shield them, to lead them, they would have no hope. No hope for their earthly lives, no hope for their eternal lives. They would be completely and totally lost. Nothing else mattered but this one thing: having the Lord be with them. Without his presence, they would have no rest. So, now that you have had a few minutes to think about it, what keeps you up at night? What prevents you from being at rest? Where to begin, right? If you're a parent, it's probably your kids, wondering about their future, wondering about how you've raised them, worrying about the choices they make. If you're a young adult or teenager, it's probably your life, wondering what you're going to do the rest of your days, wondering how you're going to make it in this world, worrying about your faith with all that's stacked up against it. If you're a pastoral or diaconal student, the immediate concern is surviving finals week, especially with this whole crowd of people pressed in around you. Yet you also wonder how that theological interview will go now that you've started scheduling them, or you wonder where you will ultimately be placed in service in the church. If you are a board member, it's the financial health of the seminary and how the recruitment numbers look for next year. If you're a human being, it's probably your health at times, wondering if your body is going to hold up, wondering if your aches and pains are ever going to go away, worrying about the moment of your death and how awful it might be. If you're any number of my staff members this morning, it's wondering how the health challenges of loved ones will turn out these next few days, wondering how much longer they're going to make it, wondering how you will carry on after the Lord takes them home. If you're a pastor, wondering about your congregation and the responsibility for the sheep to which you have been entrusted, wondering about how this member is doing or that member is doing, especially as you're away this week, wondering what the long-term outlook is going to be, worrying that you're not doing enough to carry out your call. If you are a hymn writer or a translator, working on a commission to create a hymnal for a country in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America or Europe, you wonder if it is even possible. If you are one who has birthed such a hymnal, you wonder how long it will live. 75 years? 10 years? If you're a Christian, it's probably the shape our world is in. Wondering how much further the moral decline will go, wondering how depraved this world can become, worrying that someday soon persecution will come to your own doorstep, wondering how this election day will turn out and whether the moral compass of our country can be reset. Have I covered it all yet? Not by a long shot. There's money and the economy, there's relationship woes and security concerns both here in the United States and amongst our brothers and sisters where I just was in Ethiopia. There's everything in life that you can't control and that can easily go so horribly wrong. It's a small wonder that we get any rest at all. So, how did Moses find rest? With all that he was facing, with all that weighed upon him, what set his heart at ease? Only this one simple promise from this morning's reading: my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Against all hope, the Lord showed his grace and mercy once more. It's remarkable that Moses would even try to get the Lord to go with them after all they had done. But Moses remembered the Lord's promise. He reminded the Almighty that they were his people. Moses would not stop calling out to the one who had called them as his own. And so the Lord, ever true to his word, promised his presence, and with his presence, eternal rest. This, my friends, is how you find rest. You won't find it by trying to solve all the problems yourself. You won't find it by merely hoping it will get better. You can only find your rest in the presence of the Lord. Only he has the answers that you seek. Only he has the strength that you require. Only he has the comfort that you desperately desire. And what is it that he brings? What is he all about? Showing you the depths of his love by doing all in his power to bring you into his presence forever. Nothing else matters more to him than this. So he shows you his compassion by sending his son. He shows you his mercy by having him die for you. He shows you his grace by forgiving your rebellion and sin. He does all this so that you will have rest in his presence forever. And it is this eternal rest that gives you rest today. If the Lord has taken care of this one thing that matters most, he will take care of all the other matters as well. And he will do it in the best possible way. He will care for your body, giving you all that you need to live and preserving your body until it's time to go home. He will care for your family and friends, guiding them, shielding them, and calling them back to himself again and again and again. He will care for his church in the world, making sure that the devil and the world will not tear his people to pieces, but that they will remain faithful to him even to the end. Whatever weighs heavy upon your heart and mind, whatever keeps you from being at rest, it cannot change the love that the Lord has for you, nor in the promise to work all things for your good. This is a truth that we know. It is also a truth that is hard to remember. This world is a tough place, and our pains are very real. We are creatures who often doubt when we can't see what we're told. This is why we need the Lord's presence at every waking hour. We need to have him before us, where his love can rain down upon us and his mercy and promises wash over us. We need to be where the Lord is so that he can give us rest. So we need to be precisely where we're at right now, in the Lord's house. Not just every once in a while, but every week, because it is here where his word is spoken, where his baptism is remembered, where his supper is given. In these ways, the Lord come to us with his grace, and as we are forgiven again and again, our souls are put at rest. The last portion of our text shows what happens when a heart finds rest in the Lord's presence. Hear these words again. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." What kind of a man makes demands of the Lord? "Let me see your glory." What kind of a man dares to be so bold? Only one who is convinced of the Lord's promises of love and forgiveness. Only one who is sure he will rest in the Lord's presence forever. So if you want to see the glory of God as Moses did, and don't we all, then look at the cross, where God did the unimaginable and endured the unendurable for you. And look back at the baptismal font, where God called you by name and adopted you as his own in Jesus Christ. Then look at the altar and the holy supper that is oft prepared there, where God feeds you with his true body and gives you to drink of his very blood. Finally, look around you. Look around you at this holy fellowship from all over the nation and all over the world, into which he has gathered you. Don't be deceived by appearances or the size of the crowd. Just look and believe all that God has spoken about these things and promised about them, and you will be seeing God's glory. So you continue to find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be bold and daring like Moses. Call upon the Lord in prayer. Ask that you may see his glory. Pray that he will calm your troubled hearts and ease your worried minds. Pray that he will change people's hearts, heal weakened bodies, and grow his church throughout the world. Pray that the Lord will do the amazing things he has promised to do, and then show your trust in his promises of rest by saying with me, Amen, in the name of Jesus Christ.